right after, not at the same time. No speaking in tongues weirdness, all right? We're gonna do four at a time, and we've got three groups that I'm gonna do, all right? So I was really nice. We've got three young guys, and by young, I mean they just did popcorn print. Definitely not you, Brother Thomas. I checked in with Mrs. Legault. She said you are not qualified for the young guys group. She said so. No, we've got three. They got to do some popcorn preaching on Friday at King's Kids. And so they're studied up. They have the same one that they did on Friday. I'm being nice to them. You say why? Because that way they know. All right. I'm even telling them again right now. That way they know. You got me? You don't have to bring it up. It's okay. You didn't bring it. I didn't ask you to. They brought it with them on Friday. Now they're nervous, all of them. But we'll get it, all right? And so the adults, though, I decided to go with a slight theme. And so most of the things that you will pick from, which they don't get to see what they're picking. I'm just going to fan out some papers, and they're going to grab one. And that's going to be it. Are things like, I'll give you a heads up, they're things like, you know, s'mores. Because you should always have s'mores at a bonfire, right? And they're things like lawn chairs, because you probably brought one of those tonight, all right? So it's more along those lines. In fact, the word hot dog may be in the pile. And so, say, what are we doing? It's just fun, all right? The things in this world are attached. You can attach them. If you'd think about it and put them in a spiritual mind, you go ahead and do just about anything. And so the crew that's going to go first, we're gonna separate our three young guys, all right? They're going to be, so I'm going to have Uriah come on up here. He's going to be one of my young guys, all right? He knows what he's got, but I'm going to give him the paper anyways. Boom. Back there. You're going to go last, all right? He knows. He's got it. All right, so I'm going to have Pastor Thomas come join me. I'm going to have Stephen Kyle, and I'm going to have Derek Legault. And so I don't know what order any of these papers are in right here. But you grab whatever fun you want to do. Whatever fun you want to do. Did you grab two? You grab two. Grab whichever one you want. I'll let you choose. I'll be that nice to you. Anybody else grabs two, though, I'm picking. All right? He did that on accident. So they get a minute. I'm going to give them a half a second right here to think about it. All right? So if you're not part of the crew, if you're back here, you get a minute. I'll let you think about it, ponder it. But then I'm going to have to just call and start having you come up. And so the young guy is going last. All right? He's going to watch everybody else. And then the young guy will go last and pump everybody up because who knows what the other three are going to say, right? So, anybody ready?
He's going first, right?
No, he's going last.
Oh.
He's going last. The young guy goes, I feel like I was preaching right there. Pastor Thomas didn't pay a word of attention right there. Nothing. Nothing. I feel like one of his teenagers on a Friday night. Ain't nobody paying attention to what he has to say. No, they're better than that. They really are. No, I'm just trying to kill time while they look at something. I mean, their popcorn is burning, or their brain is, one or the other. So, Pastor Thomas, you got this.
Oh, all right.
Let her rip.
Shave your chip.
You got this.
All right.
One hot dog is not in accordance.
No, it's not. All right, so I got the word. You guys can't see it, but I can see it. I got the word tent. Tent. A tent can be used for, obviously, a lot of things. You have different types of tents. There are canopies. There are tents that you can set up and that you can sleep in. This afternoon, we set up a big tent out there. But ultimately, the job of the tent is to protect you from the outside elements. You're going to go to sleep at night, and you know what? You want to have some covering. You know, it's the weather is starting to cool down enough that it's not going to be fun to just sleep in the open air. You know, you have a lot of dew, heavy dew coming down. It's going to come down on top of you. It's going to get you wet. It's going to get you uncomfortable. And it also could protect you for some rainstorms and keep the rain off of you. Guess what? You even have tents up in Alaska. They even have tents that are made to keep you warm, keep you safe from the elements that would get you cold. Well, there are tents, and the job is to protect you from some things, to protect you from the elements of this world. And I look at, we all get saved. We accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And yes, you're saved from hell, and you have that protection from hell. But the benefit of being a Christian is that you're not only protected and saved from hell, but he also blesses you in your life, and he puts protections in your life. He puts people in your life. He gives you witnesses, and he gives you counselors to give you guidance and give you wisdom and protection. He has this tent and this covering of protection in your life. If you're a church member here, one of your pastor is a tent. He wants to protect his flock. He wants to protect his sheep. Jesus, God, put him in place here to preach and to give us messages from his word. Why? Because he wants to protect you. He wants to warn you, let you know, hey, guess what? There's a spiritual warfare out there going on, and he wants to make sure that you're prepared to handle the elements of the world that's going on out there. There's a spiritual warfare going on out there, and if you're not protecting yourself, if you don't have that coverage, if you don't have protection, guess what? You're going to get wet. You're going to get damaged. You're going to get sick. You can have problems in your life. And so that tent is meant there to be a protection for you, to keep you safe against the elements. And that world out there, all it wants to do is try to hurt you. Now, it seems friendly. You're like, oh, what do you mean the world is trying to hurt you? So because you quickly realize the moment that you reveal that you're a Christian, the moment you are saved, they automatically take upon the thought to themselves that, okay, well, if you're saved and you're a Christian, then that means you're judging me and you think you're better than me. And you automatically have a target on your back because now they're just watching and waiting for you to mess up. That's the reality of the world. I'm almost 30 seconds. All right, 30 seconds. But the world is going to try to hurt you. And the devil is trying to hurt you. And guess what? Your flesh is trying to hurt you. The elements of this world, if you're not protected, if you're not covered, you're going to get sick and you're going to get hurt. And so we need to make sure that we have that protection on at all times. Spurgeon just preached in Ephesians and talked about putting on that armor. Guess what? That armor that we're supposed to put on daily, that's our tent. That's our covering. That's our protection. All right, and if you're not doing your best to get into that, like the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5, and I'll be done. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You need to be putting your trust in the Lord, that trust in that tent to keep you safe from the elements of this world. Amen.
You got it.
Tell them your word. All right, we got a flamethrower. Who doesn't like flamethrowers? Flamethrowers can be good for things, and they can also be bad for things, depending on which side of the flamethrower you're on. And as Pastor Thomas was saying, we don't want to get hurt. We don't want to get hurt. It makes me think of in World War II, they had flamethrowers, and they had to use those flamethrowers to, you know, take out enemies and stuff. And we don't want to be as, when we have that, when we're walking with the Lord, we don't want to be as a flamethrower. We don't want to have a flamethrower coming out of our mouth, our tongue, let our tongue just go wild. We don't want to have that tongue just flaming and burning others down. We want to be encouraging them and building them up. And we want to have the Word of God in our life constantly, as Pastor Kenny was saying this morning. And we just want to take that and put it in constantly. It reminds me of Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. It said, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." You know, when we're putting in that word, it's not going to want to stay in there. It's going to want to, you know, go out and be an encouragement to others. Take that word of God, and let it be a flame in our heart and to help others and to encourage them. So be a flamethrower for the Lord. So I got lawn chair. Christians are like lawn chairs. We are designed with a purpose. We're not meant to be used for to do something else. We are designed for a specific purpose, and we can also be moved. We can also be folded up and put in other places across the world in completely different environments, in the hot and the cold, in the north and the south. We can be used all over the place for the purpose to give rest to the people, to the world, and to try and spread the gospel. But like lawn chairs, we are designed with a specific purpose. Lawn chairs aren't meant to be bats. You're not supposed to hit things with them. Not supposed to stand on a lawn chair. We're meant to do a specific purpose. And in 2 Corinthians 4, 5, it says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake." So with being a lawn chair, you're supposed to be able to submit yourself to Jesus Christ. Let him sit upon the lawn chair of your heart. And submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. And that's all I got.
Amen. The lawn chair of your heart. Amen. We're going to try this and see if this is tall enough. Let's see. Can you see him? Yeah. What do you got?
Does it the key?
Keys. He's got keys.
And the key is to unlock Jesus and the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Key to unlock Jesus is the Bible. That's what he said right there. Amen. Is that it? Is that all you got? All right, that's it. Quick. Boom. Amen. See, it's that easy. The lawn chair of your heart, the key is the Bible. Then you can take a really long time to put on the armor of your tent. And
it's protection.
All right, we're going to sing a couple favorites, and then we'll get the next crew up.
Amen. All right, do you guys want to stand up?
They can
right.
sit or stand. They can do whatever they want.
All right, raise your hand if you have a favorite. I saw my mom's hand first. It's not biased. Her hand was up first. Mom? 176. Oh, boy, here we go. 176. If you would stand. Stand with me, please, if you're able. 176, Christ arose.
Hang on. Nancy, did you want Christ arose or Christ returneth? I guess 204.
Oh.
204.
I was ready for Christ.
She said the wrong number. 20, I guess 204.
All right, 204.
I got you, Nancy.
204, Christ returneth.
idea. We're going to streamline just a little. So I need Brother Thomas, Brother Connolly, Brother Bacon, and Brother Sean to come on up, and you can get your topics, and I'll give you a minute to think. Will we sing the next one? Ha! See?
All right. I'm glad he thought of that after I'd done it.
Yeah.
Molly. 685. I think I know what this is. Oh, okay. 685. I've got a mansion. 685.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one and silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never go wander. But what the streets now are here as gold.
Extra time, and it looks like Brother Bacon's ready to go, so we'll kick it off. Brother Bacon.
Okay. The little slip of paper I got said potato chips. So I happen to like potato chips. I try to get the low sodium kinds, you know, so it doesn't bother me too much. But my idea of comfort food, now I don't know, there's a lot of things that I consider comfort food, and I don't know what yours is, but that's okay. Take your Bibles real quick and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You thought you were going to get out of having to look at your Bible tonight? Wrong. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I wish I had more time. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." It seems like I look across this auditorium, and I know you're my family. And I know some of you have gone through a lot of troubles, like little girls. It brings tears to my eyes. But I know none of us are free from troubles and trials and problems. Sometimes I think God sends us through them so that we can comfort others. I don't understand that sometimes, but I know that God sees the big picture. Amen. And the things that he allows in our lives sometimes are there, not just even though we have to go through it and it's no fun, but sometimes it's necessary so that we can comfort others, brothers and sisters that are hurting, maybe even the lost, and maybe kind of turn them around and bring them to the Lord.
Yeah.
Don't ever lose sight of the God who will comfort you no matter what you're going through. Turn over to Isaiah 51. Real quick, I know I don't have much time here. Isaiah 51, I want you to look at verse 12. Verse 12 in Isaiah 51 says, I, speaking of the Lord here, I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, or of the son of man which shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy maker, that has stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy, and where is the fury of the oppressor? And it goes on there. We need to remember whose hands we are in.
Amen.
If you're saved tonight, and I know most of you probably are, he's my heavenly Father. He's your heavenly Father. He watches over his children. Right. Thank you.
He didn't want to arm wrestle. Okay. I have the word catch up. Well, we're out four-wheeling. Had a bunch of youngsters, mainly boys. They said, faster, faster. They're catching up behind us. They're, you know, go faster, go faster. Well, I heard them, but what the safest thing to do. But we sometimes we caught up, sometimes they caught up with us. But I don't think that's the right catch up he was talking about. I don't know. He didn't hyphenate it. But I think he was talking about that red stuff, that tomato stuff. And catch up, when you look at different things and you see that it's used for many things, you know, besides... Oh, that's right. I don't use ketchup. Oh, French fries. I use ketchup only for French fries. But that's it. That's it. But ketchup is used for a lot of things. You'll see, and I've heard it. You see it in movies. You know, it's that red thing that you see dripping or whatever. You know, people, they use, you know, the red stuff all the time. So what came to my mind, first of all, was in Romans chapter 5. That it says, but God, verse 8, but God commanded his love toward us, and yet that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath, from wrath through him. So, you know, as they kept, you know, it's dark, it's a dark red. And it's, I think of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate sacrifice on the cross. That's the ketchup I think he's talking about.
Amen.
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 He outranks me. I wasn't going to fight him for it. Okay, I got four-wheeler. Now, four-wheelers, you can use them for they're almost like a multi-tool. I mean, Mr. Tom was talking about, he's taking the kids around. Some people use it for hunting. Some people throw plows on it and, you know, use it for the driveway. But what it's mostly used for is having fun and going through the mud. And unfortunately, that's how we are as Christians, because it just takes me back to that prodigal son who was sitting in the pig pen. Right? You like to do that. Sin is pleasurable for a season, isn't it? And that's what we do. You get in there, you start going, you do it. And some people don't pay attention. Some people get, right, not paying attention. You're just going fast. And sometimes what happens is you can't see, right? Because you got mud coming in your eyes and all that. You can't see. And then you wind up in a big miry pit, right? Accidents happen that way. People go that way, right? So you got to call somebody to pull you out, right? You had to call Jesus to pull you out of that miry clay. That's what you had to do. But I wanted to use one verse because what it hit me that the problem is we can't, you know, you get the mud in your eyes, you can't see. And you have accidents and you do that. And maybe I'm just, you know, from working with Pastor Kenny too much, but it made me think of 2 Peter where he can't see, and he says, but he that lacketh these things, he's talking about adding to your Christian life, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see far off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And that's what we like to do. We like to get in that mud with that four-wheeler, and really it's just representing us with there that we like to go out and just do the things we want to do, and we forget to clean up. We can't see anymore, and we forget. And that's what's wrecking our fellowship with Jesus. That's what's wrecking it, because we don't want to get right and we're not getting right. And that's what's going to cause problems in your whole Christian life. So it's better to just clean up instead of stay dirty and purge yourself from them old sins.
Ready? You need this? I don't think you're quite tall enough to get over the top of this pulpit yet. You can stand up all the way. Get it. Yeah. There you go. Golden. Now everybody sees you. What you got?
I have weights, and it's a tool to help you get strong in the Lord for Him to use you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Good
job. All right. Do I have a raised hand for another favorite? I see Sten over here. 825.
That's Sten or Sten?
Well, Brother Spurgeon was here. If you're able, go ahead and stand, and we'll sing 825. 825, Rejoice in the Lord. 825. God never moves.
Amen.
more?
Yeah, do another one.
Lauren. 328 in your hymn book.
I need the last guys. Brother Metelsky. Brother Kyle is already at the piano. Elijah needs to come on up. And we only had 11. Anybody want to take number 12? Anybody want to do number 12? All right. Nobody. Oh, Brother Don is taking number 12. All right.
All right, Miles, you had your hand up. Oh, you changed your mind? You don't have a favorite? Anybody else then? Christina. 500 and what? 598. Standing on the promises. 598.
Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God.
giving Brother Andrew extra time. He was working the whole time they were trying to think, all right? So.
You want to go first or you want him to go?
I'll go.
All right.
Brother Metelski, here he is.
I did not get a helicopter this year like I usually get. I got the word hot dog. And I thought about that for a second, and I thought about the Apostle Paul being in Rome. He's in Rome with the most powerful army in the world. He's there with an emperor that's the biggest hot dog on the planet. And the fellow's name is Nero. In Rome, and Paul's there with Nero. But if you turn to Romans 1, and you go to verse 16, this is how Apostle Paul would deal with a hot dog. Because he is dealing with people that are very prideful, the Roman Empire. And they had slaves. And they controlled the world at that particular time. So Paul says to them, and he says it this way so he doesn't sound prideful. So he doesn't sound like them. He doesn't act like them in Rome. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto the salvation to everyone that it believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Why does he say the Jew first? Because Jesus Christ was a Jew. He was a Jew. And everyone around him that he wanted to have salvation believed, he believed because Christ was a Jew, they should have the salvation. But he says the Greek after that. That means all of us. Amen. All of us. All of us take it at our word that we understand what belief is. But then he goes a step further. The very next sentence, he talks about the just shall live by faith. Our faith in what? Our faith in that we understand, really understand, what we're supposed to believe in. We have built-in faith that we don't even think of. We trust it. Our ears, we hear. Can we see it? No, but we hear it and we believe it, correct? Okay? We smell something. We'll go out to eat in a little while and we will smell the food. Can we see it? Can we see those smells? But we trust it. We have faith that we understand those things that we are not visibly seeing. So, when they go to Hebrews and say things that are not seen, there's things that we believe in that are not seen. There are things that we do that are not seen, but we do them anyway because we have faith that we trust them. We trust those things. Then the Apostle Paul is, the reason I went there is from the first chapter of Romans, verse 16 on, and if you read right up until Romans 3, but just go to verse 20 and read that over and over and over again to yourself and look at it. Your faith will increase because mine did. And as Jesus told all of us, even if your faith was just the size of a mustard seed, you would be able to do remarkable things. So we should consider what our faith is, and don't worry about the hot dogs. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got to follow that now.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that.
Oh, boy.
I'll take the hot dog thing again. Ironically, I got popcorn. Popcorn. The first thing I thought about with popcorn is, one, it's another comfort food. That seems to be a thing with us today, is comfort and food. And yes, food is comfort. But the first thing, the first verses that popped into my mind when I saw popcorn, because we know that popcorn doesn't come except by intense heat and pressure, was when Jesus was talking about, he was talking to his disciples in John 12. He said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. That part we know. We know when Paul said, I die daily. And when I witness to a lot of people, I tell them right off the bat, if Don leaves his house, it's going to be a bad day for you all. But if Don dies before he gets out the door, then Jesus is going to do something that day. And lately I've been riding a wave, and I'm going to ride it as long as I can. But it's Jesus that brings forth the fruit. And he goes on to say, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And what I got thinking about was, as the times get darker and the times get crazier, that the pressure is ramping up and the heat on us Christians is ramping up. Everything that we have to say in love is becoming hate speech to those who don't understand it, to those who have had their minds blinded. And another passage came to me out of 1 Corinthians 19, I believe it is, when right after Elijah takes care of all the prophets of Baal, and Jezebel sends out a message saying pretty much, hey, tomorrow your time is up. And then Elijah wants to go out and have his pity party like I do at least 5 times a day. The Lord says to him, he tells him, he brings along this mighty wind, right? And it says, God's not in the wind. And then it was an earthquake, but it says, God wasn't in the earthquake. And then it was a fire. And he said, God wasn't in the fire. And then he follows it up with, in the still, small voice. Amen. Right? Where was God? He was in the still, small voice. Amen. And until we disconnect from these things and everything that's going on that they're trying to get us to go through, the algorithm, or as I call it, the all go to the rhythm, the all go to the rhythm of this world, until we disconnect and we die to ourselves, all right? I don't want to say this in a mean way, but we literally are building empires on a battlefield and Olympic-sized swimming pools and foxholes. This is a battlefield. It's not a place to call home and to set up your future for your kids. Your future and for your kids is when they leave this place, they're ready to go do battle. It's not a better job. It's not a bigger college. It's not a cooler car. It's to go do battle. I don't know how I got that out of popcorn, but I did.
Amen. What, popcorn pack? No. Hey, follow that, buddy. Brother Andrew's going.
Amen. All right. So my topic tonight was wood. So put wood on the fire. Wood can be used for a lot of different things. And one of the first things that came to my mind when I was thinking about wood is the different things we make out of wood. I mean, we got this pulpit here, instruments, a lot of these. Some of these instruments are made out of wood. Our houses are made out of wood, a lot of them. And I was just thinking about all different things that can be shaped and made out of a piece of wood, and that the Lord can, the carpenter can use those the wood to make those different things. And if we look at in Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, I'll back up a little bit actually, 53, but it says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son?" I will stop there, but it carries on. And they're just astonished by who the Lord is and what he's doing. They're just saying, isn't this the guy that's the carpenter's son? And the Lord was raised, obviously Joseph was his earthly father here, and he was a carpenter. And so I'm sure the Lord and his youth learned and worked alongside of his father there, his dad, earthly father, Joseph, making things out of wood. And so many times as we, in our lives, think about what the Lord would want us to do, the Lord will put something in our lives. He'll try to shape us and mold us, because the Lord is that carpenter to us sometimes, and we're the wood, like he's a potter, we're the clay as well. But the Lord will try to shape us and build us into something. And sometimes we are just resistant to that. We'll be a piece of hardwood, you know, or knotty wood or whatever, all these different parts of things that the Lord wants to use, but he can't because of the way we are. So we need to be good wood that's workable and ready for him to be able to use us, and that he might use us to be able to do things with us in a way he wants us to do. So let the Lord use you. Another thing that came to my mind is the Lord died on the cross, which is made of wood. And in the way, just to remember that his great salvation was effected through the means of a piece of wood, or a couple pieces of wood. And so we thank the Lord for that. But once again, let the Lord use you as he seeks to shape you and mold you in your life. Amen.
He's still not tall enough. What do you got?
Charger cable.
Charger cable.
It's to charge a WhatsApp. Gotta charge people.
God charges people? Yeah, God charges people up. Makes them ready to do stuff. Yeah, that's what he's got. All right. Do something.